Yes, good morning, Jim, and welcome to the Round 9 edition of the Saturday Morning VFL Football Show. You are very right out there, Jimbo. It is
about a visibility of about 25 metres at the moment.
Well, we drove from Berwick to Cranbourne, so we do get to go past Casey Fields, and being the ABC game, reserves game would start.
20 past 10, I think, start.
And there's absolutely no wind, so the conditions here, basically to describe as people were probably, you know, driving in the fog, we could not see the entrance of the massive new Casey Aquatic Centre and Basketball Centre to actually turn in.
I come here every day and had trouble finding the entrance. And, so visibility...
I think you have trouble getting out of bed sometimes, Jimbo.
No, I'm right. But, no, it's a Saturday morning.
Jimbo, but we're here to start off the program. Obviously, the Dandenong Junior Football League will start after us. But we're here for the Round 9 edition and some big news happening in the local area of VFL football with the Casey alignment, which I've printed off some details there for you, Jim. It's
30 years. That's a long time.
Well, I'll be 50 and you'll be 80.
I'll be 80. I'll be sitting there in the old people's home.
You'll be sitting in blue water across from Casey Fields there.
I remember when Casey Fields didn't exist.
I remember when I was working at Casey Radio, you'll be saying, Jim, broadcasting all the games at Casey Fields.
Three life memberships.
But, it's a fantastic news for the Caseys. We'll go into it in detail because we've got some interesting guests to join us on this morning's programs. We usually talk to the coaches and personalities of the VFL. Today we've gone to AFL Victoria and we're speaking to John Hook and also the marketing manager, Peter Harley. And Jimbo, we've got to go through from round 8, some interesting results there once again. Williamstown actually suffered their first loss of the season and what really looked like one of the games of the season. North Ballarat getting over the line by 2 points. We're getting updates via the text messages at our game, which was Coburg versus Werribee. Unfortunately for us, it was pretty one-sided. An impressive performance by the Coburg Tigers, but Williamstown versus North Ballarat. They're sitting 1-2, only separated by percentage now. And North Ballarat 14-16-100 defeated Williamstown 15-8-98.
Yeah, it's an excellent game by North Ballarat, who have come back well since there. They lost round 1 or 2. Can't remember. It's such a long time ago.
Well, they defeated Collingwood in the game. We saw them against them at Visy Park, as you could hear with Cameron Richardson's goal at the end of the game. So they've had some tight tussles so far, but good performance to beat them at Burbank Oval.
Yeah, it shows a very good team that can win the tight ones, and they've certainly done that this year.
At half-time, Box Hill Hawks had really made it a match for Port Melbourne, but the Borough, well, they found some form in the second half, and could this be the momentum boost they've been requiring all season to really start getting the ball rolling there for Port Melbourne? They defeated Box Hill 17-15-117, defeating the Box Hill Hawks 10-8-68. Adam Uze kicked one of the goals of the season.
You saw it, I didn't.
Yeah, the balls came, I think it was off the pack, and he just socketed out of midair from 45 metres out. It was pretty much straight in front and went through post high. So, obviously, Uze's been known for his kicking and can make pretty good contact at times.
He's a class act.
And
always has been.
The ball just floated out there for him, and he nailed it from 45 metres out. That was one of three goals in the second quarter for Uze. He finished with three goals, but Schultz was a big player in that game for Port Melbourne, kicking four goals, so he did pretty well there.
The other Schultz kicked 8.
yes. Jay Schultz, and that was that was a Sunday broadcast game. But
good afternoon for the Schultz people.
Yeah, well,
I don't think they're brothers.
Jay was unstoppable against Werribee. And, the Saturday broadcast game was pretty one-sided, and it was a surprise how much Collingwood dominated the Northern Bull Ants. 16-8-104, the Pies defeated their AFL rival Carlton's aligned Northern Bull Ants 17-12-54. So a 50-point win there by Collingwood.
We got text messages from, was it John from East Brighton?
East Bentley, I think.
East Bentley. And Greg from Berwick.
Yep.
And they are now on the head with the comment, no Al Halpin, no Bull Ants.
Well, Halpin has been playing some some really good football at this level. He plays a variety of roles, so he gets a lot of flexibility, David Teague, when he has Santander available in the squad. So I guess, you know, it was interesting that there was two things that came out of, there was actually some interesting pre-game interviews. Collingwood have only lost to Coburg, North Ballarat and Williamstown.
Mm-hmm. You sit 1-2-3.
1-2-3. So they're currently sitting in seventh position themselves, Collingwood, but they've had four dominating performances against opposition that aren't quite sitting there. The Bull Ants are now sitting in fifth. They were in the top four at that stage, so it was a good win for Collingwood. And David Teague mentioned in his interview that the biggest question mark about his squad is how good they can play when they don't have a full Carlton alignment in their squad. They only had 13 Carlton-listed players against Collingwood. They usually go in with 16 or something. So
Brad Fisher was sorely lost, and was Richard Hadley.
Brad Fisher's probably a class above the VFL, though.
Yep.
So him spending as much time in the Northern Bull at the Northern Bull Ants was a bit of a surprise. Yep.
Well, Brad Fisher's a focal point when for the Northern Bull Ants, and they didn't have anyone up forward to finish off the good work.
Oh, yeah, but also another aspect of Brad Fisher's game is at VFL level, Jimmy has the motor to run off the half-forward line and pick up some possessions in the back line and follow the play down at the speed that it's carried through and get the ball back in the forward line. So, you know, you can't find many defenders or players who can go with him for a full four quarters. He doesn't dominate the VFL for four quarters, Brad Fisher, but he'll pop up for a half or a quarter and kick three goals and, you know, put his team ahead.
Yep, and in lightness and Greg from Berwick, I reckon he's a very good friend of yours, isn't he? You've known him for how many years?
I was just having some fun with the fun with it was Greg from Narre Warren, but I wasn't John. I had a Saturday off and thought I'd have some fun with the boys and sent through some text messages for them, and they got sucked in. So
I'm pretty sure they didn't. I'm pretty sure they didn't know it was you, but I think the messages were accepted gratefully. They certainly enhanced the coverage.
Jim, if we need to enhance the text messaging service, because some days we actually do get them and some days we don't. We've got so many new people joining KC Radio at the moment. I have to put a stopgate on, because we're just getting too many people hearing our coverage and wanting to join us. So
quality. Some of them are quality. Some of them are learning.
Oh, yeah, they get at different stages. We'll mould them into VFL broadcasters. Yeah. Just hope they stay with us, because we get the decent ones and all of a sudden they get poached by other radio networks and make their time for us a little bit scarce. So, Nick Mingos is one young gentleman who's joined the broadcast team and hit the ground running. Tom Brown debuted for us last weekend as well, Jim, so it's it's been an interesting couple of weeks for KC Radio. Tristan won't be available this week, but we've got some guys stepping in to place him. We still haven't finished round 8 coverage yet, so we'll go through the Sunday games, and we'll start off with the Battle of the Big Cats, we were calling it out there at ABD Group Stadium last weekend. Coburg Tigers versus the Werribee Tigers. Werribee did not shoot a gun, did they? And in disappointing news for the Werribee Tigers,
very disappointing.
Young defender for the North Melbourne side, Luke Delaney, I think his name is, was playing in the ones, got dropped back to the twos last weekend and has quite seriously injured his shoulder. I checked for an injury update through the week and it still had to be confirmed. So hopefully that's not too serious injury there, but it looks like it is. And they went down 20 goals, 12, 132 Coburg, as Jim mentioned, led by Jay Schultz, who kicked 8. 2 goals in every quarter. Could have been more. He's an enigma. Jay Schultz.
You just can't bridge that gap.
When I brought this up in the broadcast, I wasn't trying to be funny. Jay Schultz, when he thinks he can kick the goal, will generally miss. There's something where he must just get lazy in his drop. When it's tricky and he has to kick through the football and really get into a roost, he kicks it straight. Yeah. So he kicked 8 goals, and he probably would have taken 12 marks inside forward 50, you'd imagine. He kicked 8 goals, 3, and went out of bounds on the full and passed a couple off. Werribee, you know, they've won, how many games have Werribee won now? They've won 2 games, and they'd have to really improve by about 50% to win any more, unless they play, obviously, Frankston, Geelong or the Bendigo Bombers. They were really disappointing. I know they have to add Nathan Thompson back into that forward line, which will add some marking options there for Marty Pask isn't firing at the moment, which has been a little bit disappointing. Young Martinello is an interesting prospect. He kicked 3 goals last week and keeps trying. But Michael Barlow, if there was not so much at the Liston for picking up 3 votes in every game, but if you wanted to see an effort last weekend by somebody who was trying to do just too much for his team in the end, Michael Barlow, he would have ran straight to the ice bath after the game because he could hardly walk. His effort playing as that mobile, really mobile play, wasn't he? He's in the back line, ran through the midfield and tried to do things up forward. He has to be a big chance at getting drafted this year. I know he was a chance at St Kilda and they went a different option, I think, 2 years ago. I don't know where he spent his pre-season in 09, but Michael Barlow has developed into one of these footballers who, if you have to label the MVP for his team, well, he'd have to be one of the MVPs in the comp because he just does everything. And he was a bit of an inspiration against Coburg because he was battling that hard. He was making that many contests. At about the 25-minute mark of the last quarter, you just couldn't find him because he was just... He was knackered, and his performance was outstanding in a losing side. I would have probably given him votes. He was that good. Williamstown versus North Ballarat. Williamstown 15-8-98 went down to North Ballarat 14-16-100, and that's really good for the competition to see the two teams at the top so evenly matched. And last year's premiers getting over Williamstown, so the year of redemption for the Seagulls, and that would have been a good test. And I reckon Brad Gotch would have been happy with his Chargers' performance. I guess the concerning thing is 30 scoring shots to North Ballarat, only 23 to the Seagulls. So North Ballarat really did pepper the goals. Corey Jones kicking 6 goals from memory. And with all their injuries, Corey Jones is pretty unlucky not to be finding himself in the Kangaroos senior lineup. And I think he's still got plenty of football left in him, Corey Jones, if he needs to find a new home in 2010. Maybe he could be a Gold Coast option. Casey Scorpions versus Geelong. The Scorpions, 16-15-111, defeated the Cats, 11-9-75. Casey, dominating performance back at home to get a win on the board and put a gap between them and the bottom place teams. Robertson kicked 3. Newton also got amongst the goals. It was a strong performance at home once again by the Casey Scorpions. The Cats, a little bit disappointing, just didn't get over the line against a good opposition at home. Sandringham, well... We'll talk to John Hook and also Peter Harley about the Bendigo Bombers because there have to be some interesting and some concerns or some interested thoughts and concerns about where they actually stand in the competition. It's been announced through the week that we won't be playing football at Queen Elizabeth Oval anymore in season 2009 until the ground gets a clearance. So that makes the 2 regional grounds in the VFL at the moment under question, and we'll speak to the AFL Victoria, I think it's CEO, John Hook.
Operations manager.
Yep. The CEO is Peter Swab, I think, and Peter Harley, because that's big concerns. The VFL have always been trying to push out into regional Victoria to really find those 2 bases out there and really spread the VFL message. But with Eureka Stadium under the microscope at the moment, it hasn't come up to scratch, which is a victim of circumstances there for North Ballarat, because it came a victim of the fire and drought conditions up there. Hopefully they can get that right, because that's a big initiative, not just for the VFL, but for the whole Ballarat region. It's important they get a stadium like that up there, and it'll be fantastic for that football club. And the Bendigo Bombers last weekend, at half-time, had scored 1 point.
Very disappointing. Well, they've been disappointing this year. After 7 games, they're only 447 points, with 917 against them. That is a drop in nearly every game. I don't think they've been really competitive this season.
They finished 3-6-24, the Bombers. Against the Zebras, who returned to form, I think the Bendigo Bombers could allow most teams to return to form. Everyone got amongst the goals. 20 goals, 16-136. It's a good win for the Zebras, who have put them back in a position where they can compete for the top 4. We'll go through the ladder after round 9. We mentioned Williamstown and North Ballarat separated by percentage. It's a healthy amount, though. You mentioned that the Bendigo Bombers have scored 447. Total score for their 7 attempts. Well, Williamstown have scored 859. They're at a percentage of 160. North Ballarat 116. Then we have 3 teams on 5 wins: Coburg, Barra, and the Northern Bull Ants. So they're just all separated by percentage there. Sandringham, Collingwood, and the Box Hill Hawks round out the top 8. They've all had 4 wins. So it's going to be a really interesting run home now for these squads as we're starting to turn towards the halfway mark. The Scorpions are still alive. They've had 3 wins and 4 losses on 12 points. Then it's Werribee Tigers and the Cats, which unfortunately seems like the difference there in skill level starting to show. And Frankston had the bye last weekend yet to notch up a victory.
And the Bombers floundering at the bottom, 48.75% at the almost the halfway mark. They're really struggling.